All right. As always, it's a joy to be able to bring the good news of Jesus to you. The text that we're going to look at this morning is the gospel lesson appointed for this Transfiguration Sunday. It comes to us from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9, and it can be found on page 822 in your pew Bibles. We encourage everyone now to rise. And why don't you follow along silently while I read aloud. Starting at verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And they were coming down the mountain. Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Please be seated. This is a fitting ending to the season of Epiphany. You know, remember, Epiphany started on January 6th, and the gospel reading for the Epiphany is always the reading of the Magi, when the Magi come to visit the infant Jesus. And Epiphany, of course, means manifestation. And we understand that from that moment, that God is made manifest in the man of Jesus Christ. That God is truly God, and God is truly man. And the disciples saw him, saw the man, Jesus. But on Transfiguration Day, okay, which we always celebrate on Sunday, on that day of Transfiguration, they saw the man, Jesus, shine in all the glory of God, something that he had emptied himself of so that he could take on the form, the scriptures say, of a slave, and be obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And so Jesus had emptied himself of all this glory, but on this Transfiguration Day, he was allowed for a brief instant to shine in all of his majesty and glory of God. Now, in past sermons on the Transfiguration, I've talked about what it meant for Jesus himself to experience the Transfiguration. The idea that Jesus, having lived on this earth for 33 years as a man, stripped of all that glory, was about to go to the cross. And here we are just, you know, days before Jesus is going to head into Jerusalem for the last time. And so God is preparing him for his journey to the cross by allowing him to be himself for a brief instant. It's kind of like, I would say, compare it to like the huddle before a big game, where you get together and you pump each other up and say, we can do this. The Father knew what Jesus had to do and how absolutely horrible it was going to be ripped from God to become sin and to suffer the forsakenness of God. And so he needed all the power of God in order to do this. And on that transfiguration, he is renewed and filled up once again with all the power and glory of God so that he could be ready to go and do the hardest thing that anyone has ever done. He takes with him his favorite disciples. Okay? Who remembers who Rock Johnson and the Sons of Thunder are? Who are they? Peter, James, and John. Peter, right? His name was Rock, and his dad's name was John Johnson. Rock Johnson, and Peter, and John and James, Jesus knew them by their nickname, Sons of Thunder. So Rock Johnson and the Sons of Thunder, Jesus' favorite disciples, are asked to go with him up this mountain, okay, where he is transfigured before them, okay? And they see it and are absolutely, I mean, they're brought to their knees and they actually fall on their faces before God, before this almighty power. They hear the voice of the Father speak in the cloud. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Now, I find it incredibly interesting that right after God proclaimed that they should listen to his Son, the first words out of his mouth are, don't be afraid. Do not fear. Do not fear. His first words to the disciples who have just been told to listen to him, and he says, stop fearing. Fear is part of our existence. It is our nature. To fear. It is not part of our new nature, which trusts in God and believes God. It's part of the fallen human nature. Jesus didn't have a fallen human nature. Jesus had a pure human nature, like Adam did before the fall. Jesus didn't suffer with the types of inner temptation and inner fears that we have. Now, temptation came from outside of him. We see that in the desert, tempted by the devil, tempted in other ways too, just like us, from the outside. But from the inside, he didn't have that broken flesh that we carry with us all the time. It's in constant fear. And Jesus knows that. He understands it. And so he tells us, don't fear. Don't listen to that side of you. Paul reminds us to do that. You know, to have the mind that is in Christ Jesus. Have that same mind in you that Christ Jesus has. Now, I want you to understand this. We sometimes think of Jesus as being kind of God in a shell, that he is almighty God and he thinks like God. He has God's mind, but it's just covered in skin. And that's what Jesus was. But that is not what we believe, teach, and confess. That is not what the ancient historical Christian church taught. But rather it taught that Jesus has a very soul of a human being. That he is body and soul, human, and at the same time, God. But understand, his humanity was an unfallen humanity, okay? One of the most remarkable stories to me, and it's in all three of the synoptic gospels, that means Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's about Jesus on Lake Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee. Okay, same thing. When there's a great storm that rises up, and he and all the disciples are in the boat. People remember that story? What's Jesus doing in the boat? Just yell it out. He's sleeping. The scriptures say that he was in the stern of the boat, asleep on a cushion. Now, if that doesn't show you his humanity, what does? He needed sleep. He's resting. He's tired. He's a human. And he needed rest. But while he's resting, all the other the disciples are going crazy because the storm is raging and the waves are taking over the boat, and they're afraid that they're going to sink. They're afraid that they're going to die. But Jesus is not afraid. They go and they shake him. Wake up, Jesus. They even say this, "Don't you care about us? Don't you even care, Jesus, that we're dying here?" And Jesus gets up and he says, "Oh, you of little faith. Why are you so afraid?" And then he holds up his hands and he calms the storm. But he was sleeping during it. How? Why? Because in his mind, the mind of Christ, he trusted his Father. Remember, this is not just God in a shell. This is a human being that had to trust the Word of God, that had to trust his Father and to believe all the things that the law and the prophets said. He did. He believed. In his manhood, he believed. And we're to have that same mind. You know, last few weeks, since reading that story again in a devotion about Jesus on the water in the boat, that's been my prayer for myself. Lord, help me to have the mind of Christ. And whatever's going on in my life, help me to believe that you rule and reign, that you are in charge of all things, and that you love me, and that you're going to see me through whatever trial or tribulation comes my way. Help me, Lord, to rest in you, to sleep during the storm. Every last one of you is undergoing some sort of storm in your life, or just passed one, or unfortunately you're about to undergo one. The death of a loved one, or an illness, financial troubles, joblessness, you name it. Kids not conforming, grandkids doing their crazy thing, and you're worried, sick about them. Have the mind of Christ and rest during the storm. This is what we understand is our freedom to do in Christ, is to rest because he is God. And that's what the Transfiguration teaches us. He's not just a human being. He is God. And the scriptures tell us that he has been given authority over all things. And the ancient historical church teaches that he rules and reigns right now. Not down the road sometime after some rapture and tribulation and all that kind of stuff, and he'll finally reign on the earth. No, he reigns now. He is King of Kings, and he is Lord of Lords, and he rules all things, and he loves us. See, that's very important that both of those are happening at the same time. He's in charge, and he loves us. If he simply loved us, but he wasn't in charge of things, we'd have something to worry about. or if he was in charge of things, but he didn't love us, we'd have a lot to worry about. But he does both. He has been revealed as being more than human in the transfiguration, for he is God. We can trust him. Now, what I am not telling you is that everything's going to be hunky-dory in your life because, you know, God rules and reigns. And you just got to trust that everything's going to go swimmingly. Every time Kimberly gets a little too positive, you know, in her Pollyannish way, which I love, I break out this song that used to come on the Oral Roberts show back in the 70s, and it drives her nuts. You know, she'll be saying something, oh, don't worry, everything's going to be okay, you know, and I'll break out with, something good is going to happen to you, this very day. She hates it. I know. There you go. And I do it over and over. Yeah. Just to irritate her. That is not what I'm telling you. The great things are going to happen to you. But let's think about it for a second. What things happened to these disciples? They were all martyred, as far as we know, except for John, who some people think is still walking around. Crazy. Not good. Bad things happen. Terrible things happen. Awful things happen to people who love God. But what we learn in this passage is that he rules and reigns over all things, for he is indeed God. And we can rest in assurance that he has everything under control. And even if it means our death, he works out everything to our good, to our eternal good. That's what it means, that Jesus is not only human but divine. That's why Transfiguration Sunday is so important, that we would know who he is. And by knowing who he is, we know who we are. We are his children. Today, hear his voice. Hear him. Listen to him. And know who you are. You are a child of God. And hear him say to you, do not fear. Amen.